y'all, thanks for joining us on the Cream of the Crop podcast, dedicated to agriculture. We talk to top leaders, share top ideas, and discuss top trends and products. We get to the heart of ag and put the issues on the table. Welcome to the Cream of the Crop podcast. Today we have Elise Stoddard, who is the Managing Director of Leadership Development for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Hey, Elise.
Hey, Bristol. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
We are so pumped to have you. I know you're far away, so you're in DC. We're in Florida. Different weather today, I'm sure.
A little bit chilly, yeah.
We're like pushing 90, and I'm ready for fall, for sure.
Very jealous.
Well, I know that I met you actually in Florida when you were living in Florida. So if you'll just tell us a little bit about where you started, how you got to the American Farm Bureau Federation, that's a big thing. So what were the steps you took to get there?
Sure. Thanks. Well, I grew up in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, and I did not grow up in agriculture, and it was pretty far removed from the like ag mafia that is agriculture. Mm-hmm. But my mom's an elementary school teacher. She actually retired this year after 34 years. Oh, so shout out to all of the elementary school teachers out there. And she wanted to start a school garden when I was in middle school. She reached out to a couple of different people, and the people she found most helpful and the people who were most generous with their time was our County Farm Bureau and our County Farm Bureau Women's Program. So that was my first kind of introduction to what Farm Bureau was. And I drank the Kool-Aid and I drank it hard, and I got involved in National FFA organization. I was involved in 4-H throughout school. I was involved in Collegiate Farm Bureau at the University of Florida when I was going to school there. And then right after school, got an opportunity at Florida Farm Bureau, where I was the leadership programs coordinator for a little while. I still consider that like a dream job. I loved being the leadership programs coordinator at Florida Farm Bureau. And I've actually joked that I would have never left that job. You know, I would never leave that job unless a job similar to that at AFBF opened up. And really, luckily, about 5 years ago now at AFBF, that did opportunity did open itself up to me. So I've been here for about 5-ish years.
That's so exciting. I love that. I'm trying to think the first time I met you, but it was several years ago. And I think it was when we were chartering, Megan Meredith and I chartered the Farm Bureau chapter at Warner.
Sure.
And that's probably when like I actually face-to-face met you for the first time, but you were definitely like a superstar to Florida Farm Bureau. So I remember seeing you in all these fun things, and I'm like, she's so fun. So that's awesome. What did you do? Like, what is the difference between what you did with Florida Farm Bureau and what you're doing with American Farm Bureau? And if you'll tell us the difference too.
Yeah, absolutely. So Farm Bureau has kind of three different tiers, I guess. And the most important and the biggest in America is our County Farm Bureau system. And so there are County Farm Bureaus. Some counties are combined to formulate stronger County Farm Bureaus. But most County Farm Bureaus have a board of directors that make decisions and govern govern the organization. And then you get to the State Farm Bureau. And the State Farm Bureau's members are the County Farm Bureaus. And then the AFBF level, all of our members are our State Farm Bureaus. So even though we say we have about 6 million member families, truly our only members are the 51 State Farm Bureaus at AFBF.
Wow.
So it's kind of interesting. But at Florida Farm Bureau, I manage the Young Farmers and Ranchers program, which you're familiar with, and that entails the Collegiate Farm Bureau and the Women's Leadership Programs. And then here at AFBF, I focus mainly on the leadership development aspect throughout the programs. So I work with all different committees and also state boards.
So there's so many things I could ask you or talk about just from that brief description of what you do.
Sure.
When you said earlier, this kind of caught my attention. You said that you drank the Kool-Aid, the Farm Bureau Kool-Aid. Now, I am a witness to drinking the Farm Bureau Kool-Aid. I swear by Farm Bureau. I live by Farm Bureau. You know, I love it. Involved in my county. It's so much fun. But I'm thinking like there's so much opportunity that just county members have the ability to do, but we're missing out on because we may not know or we may just not have the time. So what do you do to help people like me that are involved on a county level get kind of up where I'm doing more lobbying or I'm doing more communications or things like that? Like, what does that process look like?
Sure. So me and my team at AFBF, we focus on four areas of training, and that's media training. So how to talk to a regular media outlet, whether it's a podcast or folks on TV. We do advocacy training, which is like you were talking about, going to the Hill and advocating for your cause. We do personal and professional development training, which looks like personality assessments, Myers-Briggs, True Colors, that kind of thing. And then we also do organizational development training. So that's how to create environments for your County Farm Bureau to function at their best capacity. So processes and building strategic plans for state and county farm bureaus to kind of be the best versions of themselves that they can be. So while most people think about Farm Bureau in like either the insurance or advocacy aspects of it, which is huge and very, very important, my team's focused more on the long-term success of rural leaders. And so we want to invest in leaders at the county level, at the state level, to really bring the leadership skills that they are learning during Farm Bureau trainings back to their rural communities to help build for a successful rural America for years to come. So that's kind of, we do that through training, through advocacy and media and professional development and organizational development training, but we basically just do workshops and training for all members of the organization.
That's awesome. So I'm a part of the Imperial Polk County, you know.
Of course.
Can't forget the Imperial in front of it, but in Florida. And I'm thinking of how much fun that I've had, like just on a county level. What was like your favorite part, or what is your favorite part of like working with county farm bureaus?
Oh my gosh, everything. Yeah, you know, Farm Bureau is a community. People talk about the Farm Bureau family, and I think that rings really true for a lot of people. But outside of all of the financial and advocacy benefits that you gain through being a member of Farm Bureau, I think the community that you can build is just as important. I've heard stories of young farmers who have gotten plugged into communities that they weren't from and just really thriving and saying, you know, this really saved me. This Farm Bureau community really saved not just their profession, but their personal life and their mental health as well. So I think that's a huge part of it. And getting it, being able to have like glimpses of that when I travel to different places has been really cool and probably my favorite part.
That's awesome. So I'm thinking like with us in our county chapter, and it's a pretty big one, especially our Young Farmers and Ranchers chapter, is pretty involved. But I think about when I, you know, doing my job today, I'm working in the ag industry and I'm trying to think, who do I call for questions that's not a Farm Bureau member? And I'm sitting here trying to do this and I cannot think of one. Honestly, like not that they're big wigs in Farm Bureau or whatever, but right, almost everyone that I seek agriculture advice from is a member of Farm Bureau. So I'm starting to really gather that like, this is a really prestigious group of people and a group of people that care. And when you were talking, what I was getting from that was Farm Bureau as a nation cares about their members on an individual level. So it's not just kind of what can we get out of you guys, you know, it's what can the members like me get out of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And so if I was just like, not just, but if I was a grower and I'm in Polk County and I'm just thinking, I want to maybe implement a new project on my farm, or I want to know how to speak to media better, because that's something that I think that's like one of my points that I always tell people, like we have to be prepared when we're asked questions, because if a consumer asks us a question, we're the answer they're going to believe. So we need to be on our toes all the time knowing like, okay, this is where our Farm Bureau stands on this, or this is where our nation stands and that kind of stuff. So if I don't want to ramble, but if I'm just a person in this county and I want to know what are those practical places I can get involved? Because I think a lot of times we say, let's get involved in Farm Bureau, but there's so much, like, where do we start? And I think starting at the county, but what are maybe the different programs or different like outlets that they can use?
Absolutely. And I think you touched on the biggest one, which is getting involved in your county farm bureau. And that's going to look different no matter where you are, but just showing up and sticking around is really, really helpful. Plugging in to your county farm bureau and getting to know the people on that board is probably your biggest foot in the door when it comes to involvement at Farm Bureau. Another easy way that you can learn more and get involved is through our Farm Bureau University, which is an online portal that you can go on to and learn. It's different aspects of Farm Bureau. So we walk through what it looks like to be a Farm Bureau board member. We have advocacy trainings on there, and all these trainings range from, you know, 5 minutes, and they're designed to be something you can scroll in the cab of a tractor and do in your free time, safely, of course, you know, paying attention to all the right things, but also up to like 6 hour long trainings. Wow. About governance of your county farm bureau. So I would definitely recommend university.fb.org if you are interested in learning more about some of the online trainings that we have available. And that's a fun way to get plugged in. And see COVID, kind of what's out there.
COVID appropriate way, because you don't have to go to a conference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, conferences are getting postponed, canceled left and right. So it's a really easy way to kind of get plugged in and stay kind of up to date on what's going on.
That's probably the most practical way, especially we're back in our office. And so we're not a huge office here, but we're lucky to be able to come here. But a lot of people are still working from home and probably feel really disconnected to their farming communities, especially if they're not in season or they're not working right now. Which leads me to this question. And I wrote this one down. What value do growers gain by being a member of Farm Bureau?
Sure. So outside of the advocacy, just the advocacy skills that you gain, you have when you become a Farm Bureau member, you automatically are attached to the largest general ag organization in the country that carries a lot of weight in Washington, D.C. So we have a group of lobbyists who are at the top of their game, professionals that are working for you because you can't get off the farm, and that's not your job to. You join Farm Bureau, we're doing that for you. So that's the number one thing to growers that I think is important to know. And the second one is financially. Farm Bureau partners with companies like John Deere, Ford, Case IH, and we have benefit programs specifically for members of Farm Bureau. So just like if you're a member of AAA or AARP or some other money-saving organization, Farm Bureau has some of those opportunities available to you too, which I think is something that people should look into. And that's specific to every state. So if you're interested in that, going to the Florida Farm Bureau website and learning more about what they offer is probably your best bet there.
I've used the Ford. I think it's like $500 off or something.
Yeah, so have I.
I just used it and I was pumped. I'm like, I literally had to do nothing for this. Like, I just pay my Farm Bureau membership and this is what I get. So that was for sure.
Absolutely.
Like, Farm Bureau, thank you, Farm Bureau, publicly for helping fund my trip.
Absolutely. A colleague of mine down in Florida, Greg Harden, used to say, or he introduced this concept to me, and it doesn't cost, it pays to be a Farm Bureau member. Wow. So no matter what your dues are, I think in Florida they range around $50 a year. I mean, if you're saving $500 once, that pays for your Farm Bureau membership, for many years to come.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of really cool hotels and rental car things that I've used in the past. So all of those financial benefits are definitely a pro.
After COVID, the biggest benefit that I'm thinking about is like being able to go to conferences again. And the types of conferences that Farm Bureau put on are not just like a podunk conference. Like, this is top notch stuff. I went to compete in the national discussion meet. I think it was in Pittsburgh that year. Sure. And I was still in college, and it was like, what did we just like, what is this? Me and Megan Meredith went, and that was probably my first like Kool-Aid drinking, quote unquote, experience, because I was like, this is awesome. Like, I want to be a part of this. I think just COVID has definitely made a little damper on things, which on everything. But I think that there is a huge opportunity that we're going to appreciate that stuff more after.
Absolutely.
Because I know I miss it. I miss traveling. I miss seeing growers. I miss doing that kind of stuff. What is like, I'm curious personally, what is the day in the life of Elise? Like, what does that look like? Maybe pre-COVID, like your normal office routine. What does one day look like, a normal day?
Yeah. So pre-COVID, I travel about 50% of the time. So a normal day of travel would be, you know, typically 2 to 3 day trips going out to a state Farm Bureau or regional Farm Bureau event to facilitate some sort of training or a strategic plan or something like that. So travel days always look different, as you know. You never know what's going to happen. When you asked about my transition, from Florida to DC, I was thinking about my very first travel gig at AFBF was to Minnesota, and they they ate me up because I was wearing flip-flops and I didn't have a jacket.
Oh my goodness.
I was a true Florida girl, you know, thinking that I could have rocked it, but I did not. It was very cold.
Oh my goodness.
So typically typical is a lot of travel. But when I'm in the office, we're thinking strategically about how to build leaders in rural communities. So my team is fabulous and they're experts and they're professionals kind of at the top of their games. So it's a really cool collaborative space that we can think about ways that we can grow the development of Farm Bureau leaders. Yeah. This is also the dream job. Florida Farm Bureau was a dream job. I would still be there loving life if this opportunity hadn't been opened up. But because it is, I think I'm going to be here for a while.
Like dream 2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like a dream job to me. I mean, I just love like being with people. So that sounds like such a fun experience. Getting to travel, not alone, just like traveling, but you said that you do a lot of facilitating. So because I'm involved in Farm Bureau, I kind of know what you normally do when you come or like what that would look like, but maybe someone that's listening has no idea what that looks like. So, and I know it looks different everywhere. It looks different, like what you're doing, what your task is, but maybe talk a little bit about just I know that word facilitating is thrown around a lot. So what does that normally look like when you do that for a county or state Farm Bureau?
Sure. Well, when we do facilitation of workshops, it's typically a State Farm Bureau will call us and say, hey, we would like a couple of workshops on, you know, media training or a couple of workshops on Myers-Briggs and how to use that in teams. And so we'll craft a workshop for them and go deliver it.
A custom workshop, like totally make it up for them.
Yep. Pretty much. Awesome. You know, we have concepts that stay similar and we have ideas and workshops that stay similar. But for the most part, we try to customize it around whatever needs that state or region is looking for. So that's kind of the content or more content heavy version of facilitation where we have facts and we have information that we want to give you. So we'll come up and present it. Almost like a keynote, but not really, because I like to make workshops fun. And then the other...
You definitely do a great job at that. I can testify, I've been in several, and you do a great job at it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And then the other part of facilitation for our team is we facilitate strategic plans and strategic visioning exercises for state farm bureaus and Farm Bureau foundations and other ag groups. And so we'll come in and use what's there to talk about, you know, mission, vision, core values and goals and how to achieve those goals. So that's more of I'm just the facilitator. I'm letting them do all of the work. I'm just kind of driving the bus as opposed to like a content heavy workshop that you've probably been in a million times at a Fusion conference or a webinar conference.
Love a good Fusion conference. Is that something that if, let's say a county wanted to have you come in, how do they go about getting like a resource from your team to actually come and do something like that?
Sure. And so at a county level, we'll typically send resources. So if you wanted to just email anyone on my team at AFBF, then we would be able to send you some resources to kind of do it yourself. If a state calls me up, then I'll typically get to travel to the state and facilitate something like that. But now, thanks to the beauty of Zoom, we're able to provide a little bit more, umph when it comes to resources and things like that. So we're definitely open for folks to request, just because your request doesn't mean that we can always come, but for the most part, we try to make sure that everyone's taken care of, every request is taken care of.
So you have like a team, you've said, how many people are on your team?
I know I make it sound like there's 800 of us. There's actually four in total. Four folks. Yep.
So four of you guys, is it four plus you or you are included in
that? I'm included in that four. So there's four of us.
So four of you do all of this for the whole nation's Farm Bureau.
Yes.
That is so awesome. Like amazing. And what a fun job, like getting to help people better themselves and better their Farm Bureau chapters. I am jealous of your job today.
It's
like
awesome.
That sounds amazing.
Thanks.
Is your favorite part of like working with states, like just, is it actually the facilitating part or is your favorite part more just like the networking and being around growers and that kind of stuff?
It's a really good question. I have a hard time like separating those two things, yeah. Because I'm pretty conversational in a lot of the things that I do. So some of the stuff that I've learned through like a formal facilitation has been some of the coolest stuff personally that I've learned about people. But yeah, I like both parts.
You like all of it? Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, so this might be like a sidebar to our main conversation, but it's something that I have been catching more and hearing a lot more of with the women in my life and in my industry, is the women's committee that you guys have. Is that the right term?
Women's leadership program, women's leadership committee. Yeah.
Okay. So them, tell us what that's like. Cause I know right now I'm in Young Farmers and Ranchers because I am younger than, what is it? 35. But a lot of the women that are like my mentors are getting to that 35-year-old mark and they're like, okay, we're going to start transitioning into this women's leadership, but they've kind of taken me along with them. And like, let's get you involved in this too. I'm pumped. I went to the last women's leadership conference in Florida. And I think you were at that one, facilitating something there. And I was mind blown at like the content that was coming out of just some women in ag getting together. And I did a podcast series before this called Women in Ag. And I just highlighted a lot of different women on the farms and in the offices and wherever they are. What is Farm Bureau's like take on this whole women's leadership program?
Yeah, I think it's important to know that the women's leadership program at the AFBF level is has been around and is baked into our bylaws. So it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's that important to AFBF.
Awesome.
Which is a beautiful, amazing thing. So it looks different from state to state, but I know that in Florida, there is a thriving women's leadership program and women's leadership committee. So absolutely plugging it. You don't have to have aged out of YF&R to begin your involvement with the women's committee. And so when people ask me, you know, man, my YF&R is kind of hard to get into. My YF&R has a lot of people involved. Say, look into your women's committee because sometimes they're doing like either similar projects or programs, but often complementary programs to what YF&R is doing. So it's fabulous. Some of the most amazing people in my life I've met through the Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Program. And I really appreciate all the stuff that they're doing. And because it varies from state to state, I know that Florida is very service-minded in their women's leadership programs. And that's something I love whenever I get to go to other places. I typically brag on them a little bit because of the cool stuff that, you know, the Ronald McDonald House, Hunger for All, and all of those really cool projects that are touching people. The women's program is huge. And so I love that.
Is the Women's Leadership Committee or program, is it designed to just be like a subset, like a normal Farm Bureau, but just women? Or is there like a different, like, embedding of what that is it something totally different? Like, how does that work?
Sure. So at our annual meeting every year, we also hold an annual meeting of Farm Bureau Women. And so it happens concurrently, but it is separate. And so Farm Bureau thinks it's very important to have women representation at all of their big events. And so actually folks at the Farm Bureau annual meeting of women are elected to serve in the general delegate session at the AFBF level. So even though women can, you know, apply and be delegates through their states, get the quote unquote normal way, we also like guarantee and bake in that women have representation on the delegate floor at convention, which I think is really cool. So it is separate. But it also just guarantees that women have a seat at the table, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're both women in ag, and it's, I feel like I talk about this every podcast, but I'm a woman, so I'm biased to it. I just feel like it's so important. But sometimes we bring unique perspectives. So I think the fact that Farm Bureau at an American level can say we respect the presence of these women and they're just as valued as the men in our organization is something to be like commended on. That's phenomenal. The other program that I kind of wanted to bring up, which I have a lot of experience in, is the Collegiate Farm Bureau. When I went to college, I had no earthly idea that existed. And my friend that was an FFA state officer, you know, right there by the Farm Bureau building in Florida. So they're, you know, everything they do, I feel like is tied to Farm Bureau. So she was like, hey, we should, I mean, UF has one, like we should do it. And we were like, oh my gosh, yes. So we chartered that at Warner University, and it was the best part of college for me. Like absolute That's best awesome. Part. I loved it. We did so much fun stuff. You know, I think Farm Bureau does a great job at working hard, but playing hard. Like there's still an element of getting to do like socials and all kinds of fun things. So we took that same picture when we did the college chapter. We did, you know, 1 month we had a business meeting, which always isn't that exciting. And the next month, you know, we would go out to dinner or we would have a fire, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. So I know that you have to like formally charter a chapter if your school doesn't have one, but I'm thinking maybe some listeners maybe in college for ag going to a school that doesn't have this. What are the steps to maybe get a Farm Bureau chapter at the college level for them?
Yeah, absolutely. And you might be able to answer this question even more because you have done it more recently than I have. But yeah, Collegiate Farm Bureau is an amazing way to build the bridge from FFA or 4-H involvement to your involvement to the industry as a professional. And I think that Collegiate Farm Bureau, Florida A&M University just chartered.
I just saw that.
It's like so, so awesome. Exciting. And so we're growing, right? Things are definitely happening in that space. But Collegiate Farm Bureau, reach out to our Young Farmer and Rancher team. AFBF, you want more information on that. But essentially, all you really need is an advisor, someone who will sponsor at your university, and a group of a few dedicated volunteers. So like Crystal, like you and Meredith were at Warner or someone similar in a similar position. And you can kind of make it, you know, choose your own adventure, make it your own, which I really appreciate. We had free Chick-fil-A every other meeting at UF when I was in Collegiate Farm Bureau. So that was a big driver of participation. But through that, you know, you get a ton of stuff out of it. So that's great.
Shout out to Scarlett Jackson because she was our advisor and she is well-versed in the Farm Bureau world. And so she was very experienced on what it looked like on a YF&R level. Because we hadn't been introduced to that. And I think that you summed it up perfectly about bridging the gap from FFA and 4-H to professional. So they're involved in 4-H and FFA and a high school level, and then they come to college and it's kind of just like, make a way, find a way, have fun. And if there's not an opportunity for them to grow professionally, I know, like I said at the beginning, everyone that I call for advice is a Farm Bureau member. If I had never been involved in YF&R or any of that, I promise you, like my circle would have been like this small leaving college, like job finding, like everything that I can think about doing from high school to now, like all of it, as far as networking in a career level has been Farm Bureau events, like all of it. So I think it's so important. And now do you do any like facilitating and stuff for collegiate chapters too?
Absolutely.
That's super exciting. I'm going to have to pass that word along because that would be really cool to get some, just some information from your team to bring down to the college level. And I'm sure you guys are thinking really creatively right now, like everyone else with COVID. And so a lot of colleges I've heard, and correct me if you've heard anything different, but they're having school, but they're not allowed to have like social events at school like we normally would to drive membership, to give free Chick-fil-A, to do all that. Have you heard of anything like unique that maybe anybody's doing on a collegiate level or maybe even just like a county level during COVID?
So COVID times, like just enforces like innovation, right? Yeah. So I've seen people meet in drive-through movie theaters, which is really cool. I've seen people rent CB radios and meet out in pastures so that they can talk to each other easily. There's been a lot of really cool things happening utilizing county and state fair grounds so that they can, you know, space and things like that. It's been pretty interesting, but also all of the stuff that's happening virtually, being able to meet virtually has definitely turned the tide in how I think the future of meeting will happen. You know, in Farm Bureau, we're big on the social like connection aspect. So I don't think we were going to be doing Zoom things forever.
Thank you.
Yeah, that will definitely change as soon as things are safe. But I do think that it's, you know, caused some really cool creative outside of the box thinking.
That's exciting. I am very glad to hear that you think, which, you know, obviously it's not just our decisions, but that we think that the world is not going to stay this way, especially on the Farm Bureau level, because I miss those atmospheres of just mingling and networking with growers in our area. If you could sum up your job, now I never warned you about this question, but if you could sum up your job in one word, what would it be? That's my last question, I think, for you.
Gonna say learn
Learn.
Because I've learned a lot of really cool stuff about really interesting people. But I also get to facilitate learning at a lot of different levels. So
that is a very unique choice. And I'm so glad you said that, because it made me think, like, learn. Okay, tell me more. I don't necessarily know how to take that, but that's awesome. I don't know if there is anything else, like, feel free to interrupt me if you had a little plug that you wanted to give at the end, but just give me a sentence or two of people that are listening that are maybe Farm Bureau members, maybe aren't. How can they, where can they go? What can they do to get involved and be a part of this?
Mm-hmm. Reach out to your County Farm Bureau. That's my number one. It's my number one thing. The County Farm Bureau is the most influential piece of Farm Bureau that exists. All of our policy that we lobby for at AFBF comes from County Farm Bureaus.
Wow.
So make your voice heard at the County Farm Bureau level. And the second is our annual meeting will be virtual this year. And although that made me really sad at first, I have since changed my thinking into what a cool opportunity for everyone, not only people who typically go to convention, to be able to experience convention. So you can go on our website, fb.org, FB, kind of like Facebook, but farmbureau.org. And more information is there about how to get signed up. But it's going to be a really interesting convention, but I think a really cool one.
I'm excited for that. I hadn't even realized that that was happening so soon, but
January.
That's really quick. You guys are having to think and be really innovative and creative, I'm sure, to get that ready. But I'll definitely have to spread the word on that one, because I think that's a good opportunity. You know, join Farm Bureau and hop on that. That may be your first endeavor in realizing what all is going on with Farm Bureau at a national level. I just want to thank you again for taking some time. I know you guys are so busy and you're in DC, which makes you even more busy just by living there, I feel like. But thanks for chatting for just a few minutes. And I look forward to getting to talk soon. Hopefully I'll see you in Florida before long.
Yeah. Thanks, Bristol. I appreciate it.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Thank you for joining us today. This podcast has been a presentation of Haz Media, copyright 2020, all rights reserved. Be sure to follow us on social media, Instagram and Facebook at Highland Ag Solutions.